3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right. Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Are you ready? Are you ready for this weekend? Mariners and A's going at it all weekend long. Well, if you want to get ready, this is the place to be. This is all going to be Mariners and A's podcast. That's what this is all going to be about. If you're not ready for this by the time this podcast started, you will be by the time this podcast is finished.
Felix ready. Here comes the 1-2. Swing and a miss. It's dropped by Zunino, who applies the tag, and there's number 11. Felix strikes out the side of the seventh inning, and he has flat out owned the A's tonight at Safeco Field.
Yeah, we're going to hear more of that from Safeco Field coming up on Saturday. We're going to hear more of that on Saturday. What about Friday? Maybe some of this.
Again, the 2-2. Strike three called. Got him looking with a breaking ball. James Paxton with his second strikeout of the ball game. And there's two outs for the A's here in the bottom of the second.
Maybe some of this.
Lester comes home swinging a high rocket to right field. This sends Reddick chasing it back onto the warning track. Reddick looks up, and it's out of the stairwell for a home run. Kyle Seager knots this game up. What a piece of the seventh, 22nd home run of the season. That ties a single season career high, and it could not have come at a better time for Kyle Seager.
Well, a big series this weekend. Mariners and A's going at it for three games. As this race is, it's as tight as it could possibly be. Mariners, a game and a half back of the Oakland A's coming into this one for the division and the first wild card. The M's right on the doorstep of the second wild card as well. They're just a half game back of Detroit for the second wild card. So that's where things sit heading into the ball game tonight. Coming up, Aaron Goldsmith is going to be here, play-by-play announcer for the M's. We're going to preview the series against the A's. And also Alex Hall. You've heard him several times this year. He always gives us great insight about the A's. Writes at athleticsnation.com. So we're going to get the perspective from the A's side of things as well, coming off of a very tough series against Chicago and had the task of facing Chris Sale yesterday, which was not a fun task for them and never fun for anybody. Chris Sale was dominant. A's lose 1-0. Consider this. Oakland 2-7 in their last nine, all seven losses by one run. A brutal stretch, and the Mariners would love more than anything to keep that stretch going.
1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Oh, did he get tied up? That was dirty from Felix. Barton with a Looney Tunes swing, and he goes down hacking. Three strikeouts for Felix.
Felix, of course, pitching on Saturday. Well, these matchups, oh, just does not get much better than this. We're talking mid-September, down the stretch, the sprint to the finish. James Paxton tonight, 7:10 first pitch. We'll take the air at 6 o'clock for the pregame show against South Kitsap's Jason Hamill, who was excellent against the Mariners last time out. Saturday, first pitch, 6:10, 5 o'clock pregame show, the King. Felix Hernandez against Sonny Gray, a dream pitching matchup there in the middle game of the series. That is going to be awesome. The atmosphere is going to be incredible in that one.
The King turns and fires home. Punto rips right through a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. Punto down on strikes. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night as the King racks up his ninth strikeout tonight.
And then on Sunday, 1:10 first pitch, Chris Young will take to the mound going against John Lester. That's how it's laid out. Mariners and A's, M's a half game back of Oakland heading into this three-game series.
Rodney looks in, looking for the final out. Here is the stretch. And the 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Strike three, got him with a changeup, and this ball game is over. The Mariners win at a final score of 2-1 this afternoon here in Oakland, and they win the series 2-1. Felix Hernandez, absolutely outstanding, gets his 14th win of the year. He's now 14-5, and for Fernando Rodney, he picks up save number 41.
Now, here's what you need to know about tonight's ball game. James Paxton on the hill, and we talk about his stuff all the time, the hardest throwing lefty starter in baseball, including Sale and Kershaw and Duffy and everyone else. It's James Paxton at the top, that just pure fireball stuff that he'll be throwing at the A's. And Oakland has struggled all season long against left-handed pitchers. The fifth worst average against lefties in baseball at .240, on base percentage against lefties of just .312 on the season. So James Paxton, a very tough matchup for Oakland. They came off a game where they had two hits against Chris Sale through eight innings. So James Paxton, a chance to keep the A's woes going. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight here from Safeco Field. What a matchup, a three-game set between these two teams.
Malone sets, now delivers. Swing, and this is a high, towering fly ball to left, and this one will never, ever come down. That is way out there into the bullpen. Mike Zunino with another no-doubter this year. Two-run shot in the sixth, and the Mariners lead it now 5-0 over the A's.
So to get us ready, we're going to bring that man in. Aaron Goldsmith will join us now to preview this series coming up.
To the sixth, all even at two, and for the play-by-play, here's Aaron.
They're booing me, Rick.
Not you.
That was right on cue.
If they knew you, they would never boo you, buddy.
1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Oh, did he get tied up? That was dirty from Felix.
Picks up the dirties, washes them, and brings them back fresh.
And we got Aaron Goldsmith here, hair just glistening in the sunlight, so it's pretty distracting.
I'm a happily married man with a child on the way, and I love King Perry. That is me in a nutshell, and I talk about the Mariners on the radio every night. So
kind of let it eat.
Oh, breaking news. The bees are still there.
You look up above the mound, and it looks like you're staring up to the mothership, like you could be beamed up at any moment. That white roof with all the circles and the scaffolding.
Way out of here to right field. Thank you very much.
Here we go to preview the big series starting tonight. Play-by-play voice of the Seattle Mariners. It is Aaron Goldsmith. You know, Aaron, last time you were on, you had your new open. So your new open played again. We didn't have time to talk about it because we were so busy. But I feel like that's the best open you have for any podcast in baseball.
I think I will never have a better open. Well, first of all, let's start with Gary. No one would take on a labor of love like that, like you would. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. The fact that you worked in the dirties comments, and then, you know, one thing I've also learned with you over time, Gary, is that anything that I say to you when you have a recording device going will be used at some point on the podcast, which I respect that about you. I think that's one of your better qualities.
Everything's on record, yeah. You're right.
Everything is on the record. So there were some things in the open that I heard that I said, I don't remember saying that, but I obviously did. Thank you, Gary, for reminding me. So, no, as always, you, man, fantastic work.
Yeah, I'm good at splicing, too. So even if you didn't say the words in consecutive order, I can make them in that order. So that's helpful, as long as you just say the words at some point.
Pure genius on your part. You should be commended. Nice.
No, this is going to be exciting starting tonight. This is clearly the biggest series of the year. The A's coming off of another one-run loss. It's pretty remarkable when you look at what's gone on with the A's. But how about this? 2-7 in their last nine games, all seven losses have been by one run. Ouch.
How remarkable is that? I mean, it's just for a team that early, you know, you say early on this year, but really until the summertime, it was more than just early, looked like a team that was so well constructed in every facet of the game, from the bullpen to the rotation, defensively to certainly offensively, that you just didn't really see that many one-run games in their future. And the ones that you did see coming, you thought, well, gosh, with the bullpen like what they had at the time, with the arms that they had healthy, you thought, well, you kind of had the same feeling that you have with the Mariners. Said, hey, if we get into a one-run game, if we get into an extra inning contest with that bullpen, we feel really good that we can hold it and have one big swing to come back and tie it up, or to pull ahead, or to hold the other team down by one run. It's just remarkable, especially when you look at how strong their September was last year. I mean, they were so well over 500 last September. It was one of their best months of the season. And so to see them just collapsing, this is just duck for cover time, white knuckles for every A's fan in the Bay Area. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting series. Bob Melvin had the great quote after the loss to Chris Sale: "We're playing for our lives right now."
Yeah.
I mean, this is like preparing for Y2K for Bob Melvin. I mean, they're stashing the rations. I mean, they are bulking up on gunpowder. You know, the bottled water, there can't be enough of it. Because they're using every resource they can, and it's just not working.
Yeah, what's crazy is, I mean, we've talked about the A's all year long. I mean, in my mind at least, for a lot of the year, they've been the best team in baseball. And, you know, for all the reasons we saw, the rotation was excellent. Their bullpen was lights out. Doolittle and Gregerson, I mean, best righty-lefty combo setting guys up in baseball. And he had Donaldson and, you know, the offense was churning, the defense was there. I mean, they really had it all. And just to see it just poof like that go away. And to that point, no team has ever had the best record in the break and not made the postseason. And that's in danger to happen right now.
It's an epic collapse. I mean, you know, we saw the Red Sox collapse a few years ago that you just could not believe what they spoiled. And the thing that makes this one so unique, too, is kind of the arms race, right, between Oakland and Detroit and how they put everything in. All the chips went in the middle of the table, as we've all seen. We don't need to recap the trades and the moves. Everyone listening knows what happened. So to have them they are clinging on the side of a mountain right now, and they're about to lose one hand's grip. And this is something that it might be too much for them to overcome. I keep thinking to myself that that team that we saw for so much of the season, for the most part, is still there.
Yeah.
They've lost Cespedes. They've got Lester now. I mean, is Cespedes as big of a deal as we're all making him out to be? Maybe. I think one of the biggest deals for the A's right now is that when you lose Cespedes, when you lose a power bat like that, who are you going to replace it with? Well, the one guy that was one of the best power hitters in baseball for maybe the first half of the year was Brandon Moss.
Yeah.
And Moss has just been garbage. I mean, he's just a completely different hitter. He's sitting so far beneath 200 since the All-Star break. His last home run was about the third week in July. I mean, it's just his production is something that I think the A's maybe miss more than anything else. We know they went and got done a big bat there. But, Gary, we both remember that Labor Day game in Oakland where they put five runs across home plate in the first inning. And when I saw that up close and personal, I thought, okay, you know, these guys, they can still get it done, but how consistently can they get it done offensively? And to me, Moss, it's like, well, what we've seen with Morales, the Mariners want so badly for Kendrys to heat up and to stay hot, and you know, it could happen any day for Moss. But if he's as ice cold as he is, that's a lot of run production they lose.
Yeah, it's a double whammy. Cespedes, Moss. I mean, a lot of things happened at once. Injuries as well. The bullpen is not what it was because of injuries. And, you know, Coco Crisp has been out for a while, too. And he's, you know, the igniter at the top of the order as well. That's just – and, you know, this is a huge series from the Mariners' perspective that we've talked about so much. But it's a huge series for the A's as well. And especially look at this first game because the A's have struggled against lefties. James Paxton – is a lefty and one of the best going right now. He's just been brilliant.
It's getting to a point for me personally where, let's face it, nobody looks forward to a day at the ballpark as much as when Felix is pitching.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like that. But Paxton's getting to the point where you go, I can't wait till 7:10 because what this guy brings, and his career is still so fresh and young and raw that you can still be surprised. I mean, you can still see something from Paxton that we haven't seen before. And I don't mean a no-hitter or a perfect game or something like that. But I mean more just his approach, how he goes about attacking hitters. Are his pitches playing differently tonight than we've seen over his first dozen starts, whatever it might be, of his career? There's still this kind of like exploratory process that as a fan, as a broadcaster, let's face it, we sit in a lab and we observe, right? That's what we do. We sit there, eye above home plate, and we watch a young guy like Paxton work his way through the major leagues, and there's still so far for him to go, and he's dominated so much so early that he's at a point right now where I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be able to watch him pitch because you don't see a lefty work like he does. And I know you've mentioned this before, Gary. I mean, hardest throwing lefty in the game right now. His curveball is one of the hardest velocities of a curve in baseball, between 82 and 83 miles an hour. I mean, he's a guy who's 6'5". He throws like he's 6'7" because of his arm angle. I mean, Lloyd said it. He's got greatness written all over him, and the A's will very likely figure that out tonight.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he couldn't have drawn it tougher for the A's, I think, with Sale, Paxton, and Felix. And, I mean, that's that three right in a row is pretty tough. And, you know, Mariners are going to have to pitch well in this series because the A's, you know, their rotation has been excellent through all of this as well. This feels like three games of high intensity, high drama, low scoring, close ball games. At least that's what I expect to see.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think all three of them will feel like the postseason.
Yeah.
There's no question, especially Saturday night. Felix versus Sonny Gray, It doesn't matter if it's April, May, June, July, or August. That's a tremendous pitching matchup and likely the best one on any given night. But when you have it on a Saturday night at Safeco Field, second week in September, this much on the line, the night court is going to be incredible. A little bit of a spin on King's Court. There's nothing like King's Court in baseball, especially when you've got nearly 40,000 people taking part of it. Felix is going to be fired up, and we're going to see Felix Saturday night. I imagine I wouldn't be surprised if he hits 94, 95 a number of times with his fastball. His start that he had, remember when he matched up, Gary? Remember when he matched up against Samardzija?
Yeah.
Right from the break, and they had the high court.
Yeah,
and Samardzija went eight. The Mariners won it. Felix was dazzled like always. That was a game. His fastball velocity in that game was at a higher average than it was at any of his previous starts over like the last, I want to say something like 5 years. I mean, he feeds off of that crowd. He feeds off of King's Court. And Samardzija, we got Samardzija the next day for the pregame interview. And Samardzija, he was the losing pitcher in that game despite pitching his tail off, and he couldn't stop smiling about what it was like. He mentioned a playoff atmosphere. He mentioned how well Seattle supported Felix. I mean, he reveled in pitching in front of that crowd, and he wasn't even the guy who King's Court came out to see. So if it felt like that before the All-Star break, imagine what it's going to feel like Saturday night with Sonny Gray, with so much at stake. I mean, I can't wait. That's going to be so much fun.
I know. I am really looking forward to it. And think about that. Everything you just laid out. And then think about if the Mariners win Friday, because if they do, there's a chance to move by the A's on Saturday with Felix on the hill. Think about that added to everything else. That'll be incredible. The atmosphere is going to be sensational.
And if the Mariners are able to move past the A's, I do wonder if that's – I mean, forget nail in the coffin. I mean, I wonder if at that point dirt is being shoveled on top.
Yeah.
If there's just no way for the A's to get out of it. It's tough to say never in the game of baseball. We've seen some miraculous come from behinds, not just in singular wins, but in terms of the calendar month and the final month of the season. But with as desperate as the A's are right now, if that were to happen, they're looking at the standings and they know better than anybody what's happening. That could be the TKO right there. It could happen, and it could happen at Safeco Field in front of 40,000 fans on a Saturday night. I mean, this is why you're a baseball fan, and there's no city that deserves it more than Seattle. That's going to be one of those games where you just want to get to the ballpark at about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no doubt. And the race is just out of control right now, too. Detroit, obviously, right there. KC having their issues, but then you know Cleveland wins a doubleheader today. All of a sudden, they're sitting there just, three games back? I mean, Blue Jays have been playing great ball. They're like 3.5 back. I mean, the race is tight all over the place. There's not a lot of margin for error for the teams that are holding down the spots right now.
It's in Toronto. I think it's a good team to bring up. They're playing really well right now. Jose Bautista has been very hot this month. And we all know, final road series of the year in Toronto.
Yeah.
So That road trip, I can't. It's fun to say you can't wait for a 12-game road trip. But that is an enormous test. You're going three cities, three time zones, Anaheim to Houston to Toronto. And then, this to top it all off, you're flying right back home, no day off, and you're going right to it with the Angels. The Angels will have, at this pace, certainly secured the division. You wonder how that changes their mindset for those last three games of the year, because the Mariners likely will need those three games, very well could need a series win. This will come down to the final finish, down to the wire. There's no question about it. And how exciting is this? I mean, how long have you fans listening right now been waiting for something like this to talk about at the water cooler every day, to stay up late at night watching the games? This is thrilling. It's at this point, Gary, you and I were talking about this over dinner the other night at the ballpark. It will be a disappointment if the Mariners don't make the playoffs, and it's fun to be able to say that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's right there for them, destiny in their own hands, and it starts this weekend. I can't wait. We'll be listening. Aaron, thanks for the visit.
G-Man, thanks for having me, bud. Good talking with you.
All right. Always enjoy that conversation with play-by-play announcer Aaron Goldsmith. As we're going to turn our attention to the A's side of things.
The 1-2 pitch, swing, and a foul tip into the glove of Mike Zunino for strike three. And down goes Boss, and that is strikeout number three for the King. And it's out number one here in the top of the fourth, and that is eight in a row retired by Felix Hernandez.
Here we are with one of our favorites here. We always get the insight from the A's from Alex Hall. You can find him on Twitter at Alex Hall AN. He writes for athleticsnation.com. Alex, thanks so much for taking the time. We've had plenty of conversations with you during the course of this series season about the A's, and seemingly every time the A's have looked like the front runners in all of baseball. The conversation, though, is going to be a little bit different. What is going on with the Oakland A's right now?
Yeah, like you said, this talk isn't going to go quite as well as the last ones did. When we last spoke, I believe in July, everything was great. The team was leading baseball. It was, of course, leading the division, and it was hard to see how things could go wrong. But funny how life, and especially baseball, have a way of answering those questions for you. And the way that everything can go wrong is everybody can get hurt at once, and everyone who stays healthy can just stop playing well all at the same time in a way that you rarely see one team just implode like this. I mean, the Rangers certainly have had a bad year, and no A's fan could complain about anything to a Rangers fan right now, because they lost their entire season. They never even had that half season of hope. But man, to have it all, to be at the top like that, and then to just watch it all just crash down as fast as possible has been really difficult to watch.
From the outside, a lot of national types have pointed to Cespedes being dealt as a major factor to what's going on. When you look at the A's, how much do you think the Cespedes deal has affected the A's and what's happening?
You know, almost worse than watching them play these games has been hearing everybody harp on this over. It's honestly gotten kind of annoying to blame this entire collapse on one player being dealt. And that one player being dealt for a possibly better player in return is just so, it's too easy. And it's lazy, honestly. To blame this whole thing on Cespedes is lazy. It says, we have that very famous saying, you know, causation does not equal correlation. Well, that's it. The argument there boils down to, on July 30th, the A's were really good. On August 1st, they started playing really poorly, so it must have been the trade they made on the 31st. That's ridiculous. I mean, yes, a big problem has been the offense, and having another strong hitter like Cespedes would have helped a little bit. But the things that have gone wrong with this team have gone beyond what one decent home run hitter was going to fix. And I say decent home run hitter. Cespedes has four home runs in the 37 games he's played for the Red Sox in a hitter's park. So to suggest that he was going to come in and solve all of these problems, maybe the A's win one or two more games without him. But you know, the guy they got in return, John Lester, has been pretty good as well. He's made eight starts. They've all been quality, if not much, much better, going up to a shutout he threw, you know, a complete game, no runs. I mean, yeah, you lost some value in Cespedes in an area of the team that you really could have used a little extra value, an area that looked really deep when Cespedes was dealt from that position of strength. And then it kind of, all those bits of depth all kind of fell away. But they got a really good player in return, and that really good player played his absolute best, at least matched the production that Cespedes has had in Boston. The problems with this team have run much, much deeper. You have Brandon Moss, who has just turned into a pile of goo. I don't know what's wrong. He hasn't homered since, I think, July 24th, and we're in mid-September now. Mm. He was one of, if not the premier power hitter in baseball over the last 2.5 years. I base that on isolated slugging percentage, which about mid-season this year, he was leading the entire majors. Every hitter, every Stanton, every Trout, every Cabrera, Moss had them in isolated slugging percentage dating back to 2012. He no longer does because he stopped hitting. You have the injuries. Coco Crisp has missed a bunch of time. Jed Lowry went down for a while, and there were no middle infielders to replace him. They lost their entire bench, and this is a team who uses a lot of platoons. All those bench players were starting half the time. Closer Sean Doolittle went down, and now look at all the one-run games they're losing, all the saves they're blowing. Sonny Gray and Scott Kazmir each went through their hiccups for a few starts. All these things together have combined to take the best team in baseball and make it look like they're the worst. And to suggest that one guy, and not even the team's best hitter, with all love and respect, we all love Cespedes, fantastic, and we always will, but he was not the best hitter on this team. So you're removing not even the best hitter. That was not the sole cause of this collapse.
It's interesting you mentioned one-run games as well. A's in their last 9 games, 2-7. All 7 of those games, one-run losses. Do A's fans take hope from that moving forward, or is just the frustration at this point overwhelming any sort of happy feelings at the moment?
Well, to slap some context onto that, I was told earlier that those 7 straight losses by one run are an Athletics franchise record dating back to 1901. Oof. So no A's team since before your grandparents were born have lost 7 straight games by one run. That should give you an idea of how historically unlikely that is to happen. So, I mean, yeah, sure, you can take that as some solace. Like, hey, it can't get worse. History says it can't get worse. But that's the thing. It doesn't really work like that. History just says it's never gotten that bad. You could still lose 7 more one-run games in a row. You don't know. And the problem, this whole second half has been a matter of patience. It's been, hey, guys, look, they were so good before. They have to snap out of it. Moss is so good, he has to start hitting again. Et cetera, et cetera. You know, waiting for the upward regression, waiting for all these things to balance back out, and it just hasn't happened. And that's the problem. That's the thing with probability and statistics that a lot of people can't wrap their heads around. You're gonna start getting a lot of backlash against sabermetrics and all this probability stuff. There is no 100% guarantee. When we talk about this is bound to get better, it's just bound to get better on a large enough time frame. Mm. It doesn't mean it will get better in the next few weeks, or it's definitely going to get better in the next month. And that's what we've seen is the dark side of probability that, yeah, I mean, you can go in this horrible slump and you'll probably get out of it, but maybe you won't get out of it till next April. And that doesn't really help us right now.
Well, from the Seattle perspective, this is a massive weekend series, a home series, the Mariners in the thick of it, a game and a half back of Oakland. Crowds are going to be great. Fans are pumped. From the A's perspective, how important is this 3-game series this weekend?
You know, it seems like every series now is the most important one of your life. And every time it's just not mattering. You think, oh, we're playing the Angels in 4. We got to split that. Oh, nope, got swept. Oh, playing the Mariners in 3. Got to win that. Nope, lost 2 out of 3. Playing the Astros. Nope, lost 2 out of 3. Playing the White Sox. Oh, nope, lost 3 out of 4. It's just over and over. So, I mean, at this point, now it's really down to the wire. I think the Mariners are now a half game out of the second wild card and I believe a game and a half. I think I have that right. A game and a half behind the A's entering Friday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you now we're beyond the boy, it would be nice to win this to the if you get swept in this series, you're not in the playoffs anymore. If you lose 2 out of 3, you have a half game cushion for the second wild card spot, probably. So, yeah, you're at a do-or-die point now. We are now into the closest thing to elimination games as we've seen yet. The A's just simply, it's now or never. They've had all of this time and that little cushion they were working through. It's this is it. You got to win now. If you don't win now, you haven't shown me you can beat the Phillies or the Rangers coming up. I don't know that you can. You got to get these last head-to-head games or else you're just going to run out of time.
So in that context, how much concern is there about staring at Paxton, who's been great, and then King Felix on Saturday?
I'm annoyed when you play a series and then you play another series immediately and you face the same three guys. I just think that's boring. I want to see. I haven't seen Elias in months.
Right.
Or is he even still starting? I don't know, because we only see Felix and Young every single time. I know the Felix thing is by design. They like to save him to face the A's sometimes. But, I mean, we go into every Felix game assuming it's a loss, and you hope for 2 out of 3 by winning the other games. That's just what history has told us to do. Paxton, hey, I mean, lefties have been hurting the A's, and the young guys always seem to hurt him until they have a book worked out on him. Nothing's going well, so it's easy for me to predict and say, yep, enter name here, we'll probably beat the A's, because that's how it's been going.
What do you think it's going to take for the A's to snap out of this?
Well, I guess the best way to look at that would be to see where the things have gone wrong the most. The rotation has been excellent. Remember, that's the thing Billy Beane spent all his energy shoring up, was that rotation. It worked. The rotation's fantastic. Lester's great. Zamarja has been awesome, especially his last 4 starts, 7 or 8 innings each, 34 strikeouts to 3 walks. That's his last 4 starts, but it's not resulting in wins. So the rotation, Kazmir is back. He was fantastic on Wednesday. Sonny Gray is looking all right. Even Jason Hamill's pitching well. They're 5 deep in the rotation. It's going great. But then there's the rest of the team. The hitting. You've got Donaldson, Lowry, and Adam Dunn. Those 3 guys are hitting. No one else is. You have the defense. The guys have been playing out of position a lot. They're making a few more errors than you might be used to. And then you've got the bullpen, and this has been to me, the interesting part has been the bullpen, because their numbers are phenomenal. They have the 3rd best ERA in the American League, just as far as relievers are concerned, but they've also got the 2nd most blown saves. And that's 2 stats that are kind of interesting to put against each other, because their overall body of work has been fantastic, but when it's counted, they've consistently failed. And that's gone beyond Jim Johnson in the first half. Just in this bad stretch right here, you had Ryan Cook and Fernando Abad combining to walk 5 Astros in the 9th inning and blow a 1-run lead, turn it into a loss. They didn't allow a hit, and they blew a save without allowing a hit. You had the next day, who was it? Eric O'Flaherty came in and gave up the game tire to Tyler Flowers with 2 strikes and 2 outs. You're 1 strike away from a win, and O'Flaherty blows it. Then you have Tuesday, in which Luke Gregerson comes in with the 1-run lead. First guy gets on. They ruled it a hit, but it should have been an error. Second guy gets on with an error. They both score, 2-1 loss. So it's every single guy is coming in and looking great right up until it matters, and then they blow it. Maybe getting Sean Doolittle back on Friday will help. Who knows? Maybe now they'll just lose by 3 runs instead. You get to a point where you're running out of ideas, you know?
No doubt. Well, Alex, great stuff as always. We certainly appreciate the time. You can find him at Alex Hall AN. You can see his work, athleticsnation.com. Good stuff as always, Alex. We appreciate the time. And who knows, Mariners and A's may not be done with each other after this series as well.
Hey, see you in the wild card if we're lucky.
Alex Hall, always appreciate his time and the conversation. Gives us great insight with the Oakland A's. And, boy, I'm really looking forward to this 3-game set, Mariners and A's. And I thought we'd end things, turning back the clock a little bit. These teams have battled for a long, long time in the same division. So how about a little vintage Mariners and A's? Just a little snippet of the Mariners and A's as we turn back the hands of time.
The pitch, high. Ball one, 1 ball and no strikes. He struck out the side in the 3rd. He struck out the side in the 4th and really had to work for it, because he had runners at 2nd and 3rd and nobody out. And after the infield hit by Ricky Henderson, he has fanned 2 more here in the 5th. And now the southpaw set. The 1-0 pitch on the way. Strike. A slider on the outside corner. 1 ball and 1 strike. I don't know. Would that be correct? Strike out the side with a runner in the inning or a base on balls? I guess so. Not consecutively, but he would strike out the side. Here comes the southpaw stretch, and the 1-1, there goes Ricky. Swung on and pulled foul on the carpet down the 3rd baseline. A ball and 2 strikes. And Randy zeroing in on number 11. That'd be phenomenal. He strikes out Sierra. 15 outs, 11 of them strikeouts. Of course, we remember that incredible 18 strikeout game where he tied the major league record for a left-hander. He's got Sierra in the hole, 1-2. The 1-2 pitch swung on and hit off the end of the bat to left field. Right there is Felder. Tiny will make the catch, and that will retire the side. In the fifth, no runs and a hit. And one man left. The Mariners counter with the top of the order in the bottom of the fifth. Felder, Litton, and Ken Griffey Jr. After 4.5, we've got another dandy. The Mariners won. The Athletics won.